Well, we're glad to have him back, the voice of the Jayhawks, Brian Haney, on the Sports Ticket. And when we have Brian back on after hiatus during the summer, we know it's time for football season. And the Jayhawks getting ready for a season opener coming up next weekend, but here to talk about the naming of the starting quarterback for KU and much more with KU Athletics is the voice of Jayhawks, Brian Haney. Brian, how you doing, buddy?
Hey, doing great, Wade. Thanks for having me on.
Always enjoy having you. I hope you had a great summer. It goes very quickly, and now we're right into football. And the big news, of course, the Jayhawks have named a starting quarterback. Last couple years, they've kind of been very quiet about who's going to be the starting quarterback, but this year they've decided to name one. Why Peyton Bender?
Well, I think he's the best passer on the team of the three. He has the most capable arm. And perhaps, we don't know this because there hasn't been any interview opportunities, you know, since that tweet on Tuesday, but perhaps he made the fewest mistakes in the two scrimmages that Coach Beatty said would be, you know, the most important proving ground for these three quarterbacks who are in the mix, Miles Kendrick and Carter Stanley included. So to me, not having had a chance to talk to Coach yet, but I have talked to Peyton, you know, I sense that it was his veteran presence that you know, make good decisions with the football. And then we've known all along he has the best arm. It's just a matter of, you know, does he have time for the receivers to get separation, get open downfield, and showcase that arm? He didn't for much of last season. But if there's one area on this KU football team that might be more improved than any other, it's the offensive line. With the depth, the breadth, the quality, the quantity, all that. I mean, this is a group that was so banged up in the spring they had a hard time even competing. And now you look at them in practice, and they're running three deep on the offensive line. And so, to me, I think that might be as good of a positive sign with this announcement as any. You could point to the fact that if Peyton's being announced, and maybe he's clear-cut the best guy, and maybe he is. Or you could say, well, that's a sign that the guy who had the least mobility of the three, but the best potential as a passer, now finally has the most key to showcase his specific skill set, time to throw, thanks to a better offensive line. And to me, that's, you know, 2 + 2 = 4 in trying to read between the lines on this decision. I think a lot of us thought that, you know, this would be an offense that runs it a little bit more in 2018, have a little bit more ball control offense, sustaining drives with, you know, churning out yards on the ground and keeping the clock moving. And they might still be that. But, you know, I think there was a certain school of thought that maybe they'd do that with a more mobile quarterback. Instead, that they're going to do it with their least mobile quarterback, but maybe the guy that will keep the defense the honest the most because he's that good of a passer. And so that's the hope here. We'll find out on Monday when David Beatty's talking to the media again. This is kind of the open week where there's no media going on, and so we have to kind of all speculate based on a tweet that took us all by surprise. But I have talked to Peyton briefly, and I'm excited about, you know, how he's handling this news. And I think that it's great to get a decision when we got it, because the rest of the locker room can kind of fall in behind one voice and you know what to expect, as opposed to waiting until game day. And, you know, there were some instances where they didn't even announce it on the video board during starting lineups. You had to wait to see who broke huddle and ran out there. And I know that was gamesmanship and keeping it close to the vest and all that, but I for one kind of like this type of announcement because I think everybody can know what to expect, and you're seeing it at Texas, at Oklahoma here in the last 5 days, Oklahoma being yesterday with their announcement, and nice to see Kansas falling in line with that too.
Brian Haney, the voice of Jayhawks, with us on the Sports Ticket, brought to you as always by Anderson Insurance Agency. They do farm, home, auto, life, and crop insurance. Stop by and see Matt and Jamie, 118 North Millen Beloit, or give them a ring at 738-5701. You mentioned offensive line appears to be better, and if you have a quarterback that's got a strong arm and you want to throw the ball, you need to have guys that can catch it. What about the wide receiving core and the tight ends for KU going into this season?
Well, I think that's we'll start with tight ends. You know, there's a name that you do know and a name that you might not. Both you should eventually. And that's that in replacing Ben Johnson, you've got James Sosinski, who, you know, we all came to know through basketball a year ago, the football scholarship player that was an added walk-on to hoops because of the depth issues in the post, which won't at all be an issue this upcoming season for Bill Self. The name you might not know is Maven Saunders. and he's a transfer from Florida State. He's an absolute beast. I mean, just a huge body. Has an amazing ability to play mean on the field, but be an incredible student athlete and ambassador off the field. He was a guy that won national awards last year at Florida State for his community service work. And so you love those big Goliaths that have a huge heart as big as their wingspan and muscles. And he's one of those guys that I think comes in right away as an immediate impact transfer. You got three of those on the offensive line, too. I was talking about the line, by the way. You know, three guys that are immediate transfer and play right away guys that I think help you drastically in that regard. So back to your pass catching question, I think Saunders steps in and he's a force from day one. And Sosinski, I'll be interested to see, you know, how much they utilize him, because in the spring game he really flashed some nice potential. And at 6'7", he just stands out. You know, think about how big Ben Johnson was these last 2 years. And obviously he's a guy that's gotten some professional opportunities with the Chargers because of it. But he's 6'4". Sosinski's 6'7". And so he just runs, you know, a head above everybody else around him. And so I think you'll notice him right away. As far as the receivers go, quietly, Steven Sims has had one of the greatest pass-catching careers in Kansas football history. He's 66 yards shy of the Kansas career record. I'm sorry, 66 catches, I should say, shy of that. So it would take a good season, but not an overwhelmingly amazing season. If he catches about five balls a week, he'll have that. And that's putting him ahead of Kerry Meyer and Desmond Briscoe and all that. So for Steven Sims, you know, you hope he has that season where he puts it all together and is able to stay healthy. I think we've seen, obviously, a lot of consistency out of him to this point, but not quite that year where he's, you know, top five in the league like many thought he would be. And I think he could do that as a senior. He's been a top 10 receiver in the league for sure, but I think this is the season where he could really put himself on the map, be a Biletnikoff candidate throughout the year, and be a guy that leaves here touted much higher regard than maybe where he's currently at. And I say that only because I think the lack of team success has overshadowed the fact that very quietly he's put together, you know, one of the most prolific pass-catching careers we've seen. Kerr Johnson's back as a senior, former JC guy that I think has some nice speed. You know, obviously Jeremiah Booker's in the mix. Damon Charlotte's looked better, the Alabama transfer. But to me, the guy I think I'm most excited to see that was here a year ago, but we didn't get to the full cup of coffee, so to speak, with him, was a guy that only played half a year due to injury. But when he was out there, you saw in bursts what he's capable of, and that's Quan Hampton. Quan's out of Texarkana, Texas. He's pint-sized, about 5'7", 170, if you ask him. He's listed at 5'8", 178, but 5'7", 170 is how he describes himself. And what he lacks in frame, he certainly makes up for in game. And by that I mean excellent route running, good hands, very explosive after the catch, and he just didn't have the blessing of good health last year, but he's worked hard in the offseason to, you know, be in a position to sustain injuries better going forward. And I think, Wade, he's a guy that outside of Steven Sims, as your true number one option, I think he's a guy, if you ask Peyton Bender and some of these other quarterbacks, who amongst the young guys has turned heads, Quan Hampton's that guy. And they were saying that a year ago. But I think now he has a better understanding of what's expected at the D1 level. And, you know, sometimes injuries are just bad luck. But I think, as I mentioned, he's worked hard to build his body in ways that will help him withstand the rigors of a 12-game college season. And hopefully he's a guy that we see week in and week out making great plays for Kansas at the receiving core.
Ryan Haney, the voice of the Jayhawks, with us every single Thursday at 9:30. Talk Jayhawk athletics here on the Sports Ticket. His appearance brought to you by Anderson Insurance Agency. They do farm, home, auto, life, and crop insurance. Stop by, see Matt and Jamie at 118 North Millen Boulevard, or give them a call at 785-738-5701. All right, the defense certainly had its struggles at times last year. The special teams, I can think about that KU-K State game where if special teams had played well, KU very well could have won that football game in the Sunflower Showdown. So just kind of a quick synopsis. We can break it down a little bit more specifically next week with you before the opener against Nicholls State. But the defense and special teams, are those areas that should be improved or still areas of concern?
Well, I know they like Kenny Perry moving from the guy who was coaching in the secondary to now the special teams coordinator taking over for Joe DeForest. And you've got some special talent, I think, you know, returning kicks back there. No matter who they ultimately pick, you know, amongst the punt and kick returners, you've got some good speed and explosiveness. And I think you know, there's reason to believe the kicking game will be strong with some of the veterans you return there, including Gabriel Louie. In terms of defense, though, I think that's where we'll spend the bulk of our time left on the interview today because, my goodness, I'm excited about this unit. I think they're a top five unit in the Big 12 Conference. I genuinely believe that. And you mentioned they had their struggles at times last season, and they did. But how much of their struggles last season had to do with the fact that they'd get a stop, and then you'd have a three and out offensively, 48 seconds will have come off the clock, and they're put right back out there on the field. Mm-hmm. Or there was a turnover, and all of a sudden they're back out on the field with 25 yards separating their tails from the goal line. You know, and that's where the offense needs to help out the defense a little bit more, because if they do, Wade, I look at two preseason first-team All-Big 12 players, Daniel Wise and Joe Dineen. Dineen, who was a second-team All-American a year ago, according to Sports Illustrated, the first SI All-American at Kansas since Aqib Talib. And I see guys around them in their respective position groups that are more than capable on the D-line and linebacking core that really make those in the front seven, I think, very formidable. And so it begs the question, did you get better in the secondary? Obviously, the secondary was the Achilles heel of the defense at times last year, and I think wholeheartedly they have. Obviously, the four-star Corian Harris, highest-rated recruit they've had, signed at Kansas. He comes in as a corner out of Louisiana that you're pumped about. Got three kids from Hartnell College, the same school that produced Fish Smithson to come in that I think you're encouraged with. But I think more than anything, you've got guys that were in the program a year ago that have grown up, and a year later, you're stronger, you're wiser, all that. Are ready to compete at a higher level. And so last year, it was a situation where Clint Bowen was kind of hamstrung without a whole lot of depth, and you had to play guys through some struggles because, quite frankly, there was nobody to put in behind them. This year, iron sharpens iron, man. You've got guys pushing each other in that secondary, and much like the O-line, it's just loads deeper. I think we should be excited about the options in front of us in that secondary. Names you do know, like Bryce Tornaden and Mike Lee, that are back and better, and then, you know, breakthrough newcomers as well. So, to me, I think the secondary is improvement. If that proves to be the case, like it's looked to be the case in fall camp, it's really going to make that front seven shine even brighter. And you know, you've got some guys to replace Dorrance Armstrong up front next to Daniel Wise, and I think Wise is absolutely a third or fourth round draft pick type guy at the NFL level. And so this is, in my opinion, the strength of the football team. Obviously, you got a lot of running backs, you got a better line, but the defense to me could be fifth or sixth in the conference in total defense and in terms of scoring defense as well. If, you know, the offense is managing the clock better and not putting them back out there so frequently. So to me, that's going to be what makes the difference between a season where you can win a couple of games, three games, or possibly a season where you surprise everybody and win five or six. You've got a defense chock full of veterans. You got a roster with 26 seniors, but there's nine starters back defensively, two of which are all league heading into the year. That's the unit that I think could take this Kansas team into a category that would be far beyond just progress. It would be a head-turning type leap if this team realizes its optimal potential, and I think the defense could be what gets it there.
Well, we're 9 days away from the season opener in Lawrence. It will be the Jayhawks versus Nicholls State at 6 o'clock, and we'll preview that one with Brian coming up next Thursday here on the Sports Ticket. Time for off-the-wall question. Went to the Dominican Republic, me and my wife, my oldest son, which you know him as Miller, but he's also known as Noah. And we went down to the Dominican Republic. First time he had a chance to go out of the country. We had been there before, and both times we went zip lining and had a blast. Absolutely loved it. I'm not a big fan of heights, but zip lining doesn't seem to bother me at all. I'm more worried about when I climb up the platforms to go zip lining. It makes no sense. I'm a weird dude, you know that. But the best adventure experience you've ever had. The best adventure experience you've ever had.
I've actually been skydiving in Vancouver.
Wow.
And I always tell people, if you ever have a chance to go, don't go, you know, somewhere randomly in western Kansas over some kind of farm. I mean, the crop circles and stuff are nice to look at, I suppose. But the best part of skydiving isn't the 15 seconds before the chute opens when your heart's in your throat and you think you're going to die. It's certainly not when you're flying up in the plane and they open the door and the cold air rushes in and hits you in the face and you think you're going to die.
Right.
It's after when the chute goes open and you then have 7.5 minutes of just gliding down and taking in all of the views around you. That was the best part about doing it where we went in Vancouver was you had the mountains, you had the ocean, you had all of God's creation around you, all the beautiful things, and you're just gliding down for those last 7.5 minutes. So if you can make it through the first 15 seconds, mm-hmm. and the anticipation when you're getting 12,000 feet in the air through the airplane ride, I'm telling you, it's a ton of fun. Having said that, I'd never do it again because it's one of those, once you've done it, you can say you did it, uh-huh. and I'm not addicted to it type thing.
Yeah.
But I think it is something that a lot of folks should try to do once because that's probably one of the most vivid memories of my entire life.
I'm going to tell you right now, ziplining, I can do. Skydiving, I don't know, man. I think I might just have a heart attack and they just push me out the plane and that'll be that. I don't know if I have the guts to do that you did, although... Yeah, a lot of people have that on their bucket list, and I could understand enjoying the view because the first time we went ziplining, I was kind of want to just get from one end to the other and make sure I didn't fall. And then this last time, I was looking around, looking down at the jungle we were flying above and actually taking it all in. So I can see what you're talking about. It makes total sense. How did that happen, though, skydiving? It's something that you seeked? Or is it a dare? Did somebody say, hey, you got to do it with me? I mean, what got you up there?
You know, honest to God, we had other plans that day. We were supposed to take a helicopter tour of a glacier up there and stuff, and this is in northern British Columbia, and it got canceled that day. And for some reason, planes could fly, but helicopters couldn't, so they said, let's try this instead. And so it was one of those, didn't have too long to think about it, too long to talk yourself out of it type decisions, and as a result, it was a blast.
Well, we're glad that you made it safely to the ground, and we look forward to having you on throughout the football and basketball season. We'll talk a little bit about KU's expectations on the hoop side of things coming up next Thursday. Brian, always a pleasure. Have a great week and weekend. We'll talk to you again next Thursday.
And big thanks to Anderson Insurance for making these reports possible for a third straight season. Thrilled to be back, and looking forward to talking to you next week, buddy.
And as Brian said, his appearance on the Sports Ticket each and every week, brought to you by Anderson Insurance Agency. They do farm, home, auto, life, and crop insurance. Stop by and see Matt and Jamie, 118 North Mill in Beloit, or give them a ring at 738-5701.